Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hi. You were rolling with Jason and John, 929 FM ESPN. Happy Thursday, March 28th to you. Lakers coming here, as we expected, sitting Anthony Davis. Had LeBron James back. And let's be real, they toyed with us. They toyed with the Grizzlies in winning their fifth straight. There were some things, though. There were some things, including Brandon Clark's return. That's something we can all celebrate. I'm curious today to hear Eric Hasseltine's call on Brandon's first bucket, because it has been long awaited. March 5th, I read, was the last one, when he last played. So it's been over a year. It was good to see him back. We'll talk about what we thought, all that good stuff. We do not appreciate you, Rui Hachimura, because all you do when you come in here is hit threes. But then I think we caught a stray afterward from him. And I'm talking about the city of Memphis. We'll talk about that. Draymond Green proves again he ain't learned a damn thing. I look around. I can tell it's baseball season around here. Brad's got his North Central College Adidas shirt on. John's got his Raiders on. I got my Bears on. It is baseball's opening day. And guess what? As I said yesterday, many people are saying the Cubs could win the NL Central. How about that? Okay. Not the World Series. Baseball's good because Shohei's in L.A., Dodgers, and we'll pay attention now, right? We'll see him in the playoffs and everything else. Certainly be paying attention to his bank account, if whether or not that's going up and down. Now, baseball's back. It's good. Cubbies should be competitive, so I'll be locked in. We got NCAA tournament back too, John. What I'm saying is this is a slick, good sports day. I wouldn't say great. I've seen it written in some say, wow. Yeah. Just a slick, good sports day, especially if you got a baseball team that you like.
Yeah.
Hello.
Heather. Was that Fenice Ransom last night?
I do. We certainly can't say this is on Fenice Ransom.
This is all on Fenice Ransom.
No, with the Draymond thing.
This is all on Fenice Ransom.
Ortega, something like that. Something along those lines. It was not Fenice Ransom that he got into it with.
Okay.
And I thought you were asking about last night's game.
Oh, no.
LeBron clocking us. I thought you were asking if that was all on our boy Fenice Ransom. Can't say that this time.
Oh, no.
Golden State game, we could put it all on Fenice Ransom.
Yeah, I tuned in last night because I was just curious, right? I mean, again, I don't watch every Grizzlies game because, for the love of God, what is the point? What am I, a masochist? Do I just love pain?
Well, this one had LeBron. Your boy, your God.
Yes, my God and
your
Savior.
Your basketball God.
And so I just wanted to see, all right, Brandon Clark is back. I wanted to celebrate that, and I wanted to see how much fight this team has left. Can they step up to the plate?
Well, that's what Taylor was telling me.
Back to back for the Lakers.
They weren't showing it early.
And the answer was, no.
Well, they cut it to 10, John.
No.
Did you see Bane?
So I'm done with them. In terms of, I don't know how
Did
many games they have left.
Yeah,
he had 25, and they still were getting 30-pieced. Incredibly disturbing. Incredibly disturbing.
You had Grizzlies to cover.
I did not. I'm not betting NBA.
I'm talking in our over-under yesterday. That's all I'm speaking of. Sounds like you're a little disappointed with the effort.
Well, look, I thought
what were you expecting? LeBron was back. They had the chance to go 2-0 on back-to-backs. They had
I sort of expected maybe a little bit of a fight.
There is no center.
Right. I expected
However, they didn't really have their center in there either last night.
I think I expected
That's
in front of the But look, the Lakers put on a show for their home crowd last night. There's no question about it. Even though it was a technical road back to back, it was really not. And the Grizzlies obliged them and just kind of let the Lakers put on a little globetrotter show last night.
I know at least one Grizz fan. My brother Marcus was up in there. Now his son was repping Lakers, but I know at least one that was there rooting for Grizz.
No, the ovation that Brandon Clark got when he came. Did you hear that part? That was nice of Lakers fans to give him a standing ovation like that.
You could tell.
Classy.
Many, many Grizzlies fans there.
I gained a new respect for the Lakers fan base. I did. I gained a new respect for them last
week. You're going to hear a big round of applause, Brandon Clark. Making his first appearance this season. First appearance since last March when he ruptured his Achilles tendon. In Denver,
funny, though. There's plenty of men still up in there.
Yeah.
So I will not act like they're not up in there now.
So, look, it doesn't matter in the sense that, like, they win, they lose, whatever. I did get the vibes from this Grizzlies team, though, that, like, last day of school, can't wait for this to be over type. You know, we're just playing out. And they are. But I felt like with the Lakers coming in town, with Brandon Clark coming back, Jaren and Boehner on the floor.
Yeah.
Okay, you're kind of piecing it back to together a little bit, you know. And again, you don't have Marcus Smart. You don't have 12, so I understand that. But with the Lakers on a back-to-back where they played in overtime, I felt like you would have at least had a moment with the fans where they were leading. They gave you a chance to believe and be excited, but unfortunately, no such thing.
Yeah, I mean, it's a point game after a quarter. But yeah. You cut it to 10 there late, and that was about it. As I said, they handled you. Yeah. LeBron was he was on triple double watch.
It was putting up
numbers. And then Rui comes in here and goes nuts. What are you going to do? He doesn't do it against any other team.
Well, they leave him open. I don't know why the Grizzlies do that.
Well, if anybody should know, it should be them after what he did to them in the playoffs.
He does. He was killing him in the playoffs, wasn't he? I mean, I just remember
Game one and game two, bro.
Yeah. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's just
they asked him about it afterwards. That's where we caught that stray, and he said he doesn't like the city.
Oh, is that really?
Yeah, he said, I'm not a very big fan of this city. That audio's out there.
Why did Rui Hachimura not like the city?
That's what I said. We caught a real stray from Rui there. Just asked about his performance. He had to talk about the city itself. But, again.
But he didn't expound on that.
Not much. Not in terms of why. He just talked about he was asked about the performances.
Brad, I'm going to send you the clip here.
Yeah, it's out there.
Yeah, send it over.
It's going to be in your Gmail.
Yes, sir.
We'll do this live on the radio. I don't give a damn. I mean, our performance can't be worse on the show than what the Grizzlies put out there last night.
I like
right?
communication, as y'all know.
It's going to come right to your Gmail. We'll live tweet this.
I think Jeffrey and those guys, it might be right there.
Okay. Well, you know, just because they did it first.
No. I don't mean that. I mean, it might be easily findable without you having to
put
in all that work.
Because I'll be honest, I didn't hear that.
Yeah.
I did not hear.
It was a definite stray. He did not need to say anything about the city.
We need to find and get to the bottom of the mystery here with Rui. Because he played at Gonzaga, right?
If I'm not mistaken.
Okay. Did he ever play the Tigers as a member of? Was he a one and done?
Wouldn't have had any bad experiences here as a member of Gonzaga, I don't believe.
I don't remember how long he was there. All right, so he got drafted, it looks like, in 2019.
Okay.
Do you have it, Brad?
Yeah, I think I have it here. Here's Rui Hachimura post-game.
Listen to this story.
Rui, just before we came on the air, LeBron jumped on your back. I'm glad you're athletic. It seemed like it was pretty heavy.
I thought I was going to break my back, but it was a good team win. You know, LeBron was out last night, and AD was out tonight. But, you know, I think we played together, and we trust each other. That's why we got this win, so it was a great win.
I don't know what it is about you in this building, but you remember game one last year. You scored 28 points, hit 5 threes. Game two, you have 20. Tonight, you hit 7 threes, so you're pretty comfortable in Tennessee, huh?
Yeah, I guess. You know, I'm not gonna lie. I'm not a very big fan of the city, but I always had a great memory here. You know, I think we had a great run last year.
He should love this city.
And now, you know, I think we come back here next week or something. So, yeah, it's one at a time. You know, we got things are 4 in a row now, 5 in a row.
He's not looking forward to coming back here. You can tell.
I'm getting
even though he performs well here.
I don't think he,
especially from three.
I don't think he has anything against the city. Personally, I'm getting Phil Jackson Dresden after the war vibes.
Yeah, I have good memories here.
I mean,
well, not that, not the, that. He's just not a fan of the city.
It's as easy as he's out in L.A. now. And right. You talk about one of the, you know, in terms of NBA markets.
Yeah.
It's tough to defend guys from, especially the ones coming in from L.A. in that big market. You play with LeBron, everything else. It's all glamour and glitz every time out, even when you're on the road. You come to damn this Memphis. Man. He's like, we got to go there, back or there or something next week or something. I mean, that's he did. They hate it.
I'm glad you did it. I'm glad you did it.
We're at the Westin. It sucks.
I'm not. The Westin's great.
No, I mean, he's like, I'm speaking as Rui. But Hachimura.
I think
it's all good. We can't really be. Are you offended here? We can't really be.
Dude,
offended.
Dude, Phil Jackson said Memphis was like Dresden after the war.
Right.
Okay,
I'm saying it's not reaching those levels.
No,
screw Phil.
But how did we let Phil get away with that? I mean,
you were mad. You were ready to pick.
I didn't even remember it happening live. I don't remember when. I just remember like everybody talking about it after the fact, years later. That man came in here and said, like Dresden.
But you see how he was asked about the performance, and he went extra. He was asked about the performance. He said, "I'm not going to lie. I'm not a big fan of this city." Now he's talking about the experience here, bro.
Yeah.
But I can't.
I mean, like, you know,
but
it's
I don't
like,
recall. There's, I can't right. imagine it's some.
No, it's
there was
like,
some time of college experience or anything
no,
else.
No, exactly. It's just like
there's
I go.
There's nothing to
I,
do here compared
exactly,
to LA.
Exactly.
It's
other
that simple.
Road trips,
yeah.
right? Like,
yeah.
it's not a road trip that most NBA
Correct.
Players are going to look forward to.
Correct.
You know, unless you're Rui, who comes in here and absolutely torches the Grizzlies every time. Listen. It's a fool's errand to sit here and try to take something out of any game the Grizzlies
Brandon
play.
Brandon played a little more than we thought.
Yeah.
What did you think?
Brandon?
The obligatory Brandon Clark question.
Yeah, I mean,
what did you think of him being back?
Great.
How'd he look?
He looked great to me. He looked like, okay,
solid.
This is what he, you know, for a first game back, like that's what he brings. You know, he was springy as ever, you know. I mean, he was doing what Brandon Clark does, you know.
He says he feels like he can jump. It's the wind, and
yes.
I suspect it's going to take him yes. a good year. Before he's fully back, but
yes,
he played 21 minutes last night. That's way more, frankly, than I thought he would play. He said he was tired in the first half.
Yep,
played pretty well. I thought for a guy that's been out over a year.
Yes,
and then again, you can't make some sweeping statement based off one game. But you know, you see a little bit more of this, you feel good about him as mm-hmm. the sixth piece next year.
Yeah, Santi continues to play his way out of Memphis.
Yeah. He'd been decent. I don't know. Santi, it feels like he'll be on the roster that last year. You're just not giving him the extension.
Right.
I mean, but you're right. Last night didn't show. You expected more from him. He had been actually playing pretty well. The one was LaRavia finally hitting some threes in an NBA game.
Mm-hmm.
And then, I mean, Desmond Bane's 16 assists ain't nothing. Just
no, that was incredible. He played great. I mean, he did.
I mean, that dude, you put him next to John, the way he can play,
right.
make get downhill. What is Desmond Bane? Where, you know, does maybe no post-up game? Like, he's got something now in the bag for everything, it feels like.
Right.
And including now this playmaking ability that's going to obviously benefit you even more when Ja is back.
Yeah, like
two
one
guards.
One Grizzly is absolutely fantastic at playing out of position, and one Grizzly is abysmal at playing out of position.
LaRavia is probably assuring himself on that $3 million next year that he's
yes.
going to be back in
yes.
that 11 to 15 spot somewhere through there.
I mean, he hit some big shots.
Zaire's up out of here, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Probably have to keep Conchar. I mean, that's what LaRavia has probably done here. Unless, of course, somebody says, okay, well, now we'll take a look at him, but. Nah, he's probably assured himself of that because he's cheap. He's cheap next year. And if he can do more of this, he has played well here down the stretch with more opportunity. If he can give you more of this, he's fine on the back half of that rotation, you know, way back half of the roster.
Right.
Yes.
Right. Yeah, look. So
almost
I mean,
said rotation.
It's a little ridiculous, quite frankly, in the state of the Memphis sports scene that we're doing full opens on a Grizzlies team that's 30 games below 500. I think everybody at this point is completely disengaged with this team.
But it's completely different, as you've said. It's not a Wizard situation. It's not
yes.
a Detroit situation. There's the bounce back. And so, again, taking these little storylines, Desmond Bane adding G.G. Jackson, Vince, it all adds up in terms of what you hope for next year. Bounce back year with some now pieces you feel much better about, right? Young pieces of the – we feel like the rotation, Vince, G.G., going into next year.
Yes. No, there's no question.
You still tripping off Rui?
Yeah, bro. I'm truly tripping off Phil Jackson and Dresden after the war, how y'all let him get away with that.
Well, I mean, Lionel Hollins said, you know, after he leaves, didn't he say we were
in the cave or the Ice Age or something. I mean, all have sort of said, once he was in Brooklyn or something, didn't he?
He
had a comment, I thought, that was sort of, I mean, everybody kind of takes
don't
their.
Don't say another word.
Okay.
Just say left.
I mean, he checked us every time.
He said we're like slow.
And that's probably what we did. We said, you know what, we are slow, coach.
He said.
That's probably the way we end when he said it. You know what I'm saying?
He said Memphis was like going back to the Stone Age.
That's what I said. That's what I told you. Everybody takes their shots, even some of our former, some of our own.
They can't help themselves.
And now Lionel has come back here to live and everything else since those comments. So, again, we don't. You can't be too offended.
And he was just comparing being in Brooklyn, right,
correct,
to being in Memphis, which is definitely 100%
true. But again,
you didn't have to go to the Stone Age. What? I mean, that's a little far back.
John, you know what that reminded me of? A few years back when we were in a coaching search and we were going back to the well, and somebody in the market took a picture of Lionel Hollins and Chris Wallace at Humdinger's, and it hit the market like wildfire, man.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, oh, no, what's going on?
Yeah, no, it was a crazy time for sure. But I will say, like, if you ranked the disses there, Rui's definitely, like, very low because he didn't really go that
well, and it's who it's coming from.
Dresden, when was that? I need to find that clip.
I don't know if you're going to be able to find a clip. I mean, it would have been way, way back. I mean, probably when the Grizzlies first moved here.
Okay, this is a super old one.
It might have even been before that.
Pre-grit and grind type deal?
Or was it when the Bulls played here?
2005, here it is.
Was it 2005? Okay.
Jackson seemingly had no problem disparaging us, throwing us under the bus in 2005. It's like Dresden after the war.
Yeah, 2005, wow. There you go.
Damn.
Which is,
man, that's from a Hall of Famer.
It is. That one hurt. And, you know,
that is below the belt, bro.
It's kind of hard to return from that. It really is.
That's the hatchet job.
So, anyway, Grizzlies lose by a lot last night, and the beat goes on. Sweet 16 tonight. Unfortunately, no real Memphis ties other than Cam Jones, if that is your cup of tea. But I don't think he plays
tomorrow.
He's not
tonight. Yeah.
So, tonight it's going to be Arizona-Clemson. I heard I was doing a photo 6-8 last night, and I learned that Clemson did not go. They went home to Clemson on campus. They got there at 2 a.m. on Monday.
Oh, no.
And 2 p.m. Tuesday, they flew all the way over to L.A. So I'm wondering why they didn't just fly from Memphis to L.A.
Straight on out.
You know? I mean, because you save yourself 2 days of travel. If I'm Brow Brunell, I'm just like, yo.
I mean, it's a short flight, right?
From Clemson to L.A.?
No.
It's coast to coast.
Here to there. When did you say they got back?
Oh, here to there. Yeah, they got back at 2 a.m.
I know it's late, but it's a short flight.
It is from here to there, but it's just so much travel.
Well, I'm with you. They should have gone straight out there.
Yeah, like I'd have just said pack for 2 weeks. You know, we're planning on winning, so pack for 2 weeks.
What do you feel about their chances here?
Not good. I think they were the beneficiaries of some really uncharacteristic shooting from both Baylor and New Mexico. So
the run stops here.
They're not a Elite 18, right? I mean, come on. Clemson, an Elite 8. You're going to tell me that Memphis beat an Elite 8 team this year? Get the hell out of my face.
No, I just like PJ and I like my boy Shefflin.
Yeah, they're playing way above their head.
If they stay out of foul trouble, can they make it a game? You know, that's all I'm asking. The line's 7.5, sir. I mean, I'm not predicting an upset.
I did bet Arizona -7.
Did you?
I did. Because of the travel. Because the travel is daunting and the run.
No wonder you sound so sure.
Now, I've been wrong before and I'll be wrong again. But you've
put your flag down here.
Yeah, because I think the Arizona guard play is a level above what they've seen.
It is.
So
I would agree with that.
Plus, they're not going to shoot 25% from three.
Now, Caleb Love, who you love,
yes,
has he improved his stock or anything?
Oh, his stock, I don't know, but
it doesn't feel like it to me.
Yeah, I think it's because he can't guard, right? Like he's not a defender.
I mean, we don't look to – Reed Sheppard can defend, but he's not a defender. You know what I'm saying? I mean, there's some – I'm surprised because that's what it was about out there, right? I mean, go out to Arizona and improve your stock and everything else?
Yes.
So he's improved as a player, you've said, because you've watched a lot of him.
Yes.
But you would agree with me, he hasn't really improved his stock, it doesn't appear.
No.
Okay.
But in terms of his season to season, he's shooting a
– Is he more efficient this
career
year?
Career high in field goal percentage.
Well, he needed to do that.
Career high in rebounds.
Tell me about 3-point percentage. What is he shooting? Now, that's important.
34.3.
Yeah, you like to see that higher.
Yeah.
Especially the
But second best of his career. He's a career best, 80, excuse me, he's second best. 5 rebounds a game best, 3.5 assists a game, which is basically his best. Turnovers only 2 a game, that's his best. And his scoring, 18.1 a game, is his best. So, look.
Good player.
Yeah, and I he got blamed for everything that went wrong at North Carolina, and I don't know how much of it was true and how much of it wasn't.
Yeah, but a pretty good team this year without him.
Yeah, honestly, it worked out for both teams. North Carolina's in the Sweet 16, Arizona's in the Sweet 16.
And Clemson ain't beating Arizona. How about the Illinois-Iowa State game? We talked a little bit about it. That's the one you still don't have a feel on.
Not even as we're
closer to it.
I mean, I'll just watch it. I'll just have to watch it.
All right.
But you know we're getting Carolina, Arizona in the Elite Eight for the rights to go to the Final Four. That's happening. That's Caleb Love versus old team.
Crypto. Yeah. Out in L.A.
That's going to be a...
That's a good one.
Oh, man. That's
why... I don't know if I feel that way about it, this is what you live for.
I live for good matchups.
That's a good matchup.
And that's what we're going to get with anything, right? Any way this all shakes out, because you have the biggest brands and the best schools still playing.
And we said last year we missed that.
Mm-hmm.
Said it while we were watching it.
Creighton, Tennessee. Tomorrow was going to be ridiculous. You know, that could go either way. You have several, like, straight-up coin flips. Creighton, Tennessee is a coin flip. Illinois-Iowa State tonight is a coin flip.
How concerned do I need to be tomorrow about NC State?
Not very.
For my Marquette team.
Not very. I mean, I think NC State...
What about
State,
the big boy? We haven't talked much about him. What's his name? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, DJ Burns.
Yeah.
DJ Burns, man.
Is he going to hurt us?
Unapologetically fat, and I respect that about him.
And skilled.
Yeah, I mean, that's the beauty of it. He is fat and
I'm learning
good
about him this tournament. I didn't watch much NC
like
State, obviously.
Like, Eddie Lampkin, just to compare fat men, Eddie Lampkin, who's in the transfer portal, is simply just tall and fat, right?
Mm-hmm.
Eddie Lampkin is tall, fat, and skilled. Levels to be in the, you know what I'm saying?
Okay.
There's levels to this.
Okay. I think you said Eddie Lampkin twice.
Oh, sorry. DJ Burns.
Yes.
DJ Burns, tall, fat, and skilled.
There we go. It's Burns.
Eddie Lampkin, just tall and fat.
Got it.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So he brings some, a different level to it.
Got it.
And so I could see, because Eddie Lampkin gave Marquette some trouble. I could see DJ Burns doing the same.
That's what concerned about us inside. I know our guard play will be just fine.
But
speaking of my Golden Eagles,
they're gonna test the conditioning. They're gonna test the conditioning.
Well, Cam ain't gonna be in foul trouble this game. We're gonna play, you know, good 30 something minutes. I think he was limited to 20, low 20s last game.
Yeah,
foul. You know, he did it to himself, but guards Kolick and Cam will get us through.
Yeah. Anyway, that's the night tonight. Sweet 16 kicks off. I believe it's 6:09.
I mean, you got to add Cubs Rangers in there, don't you?
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
You talk about a big night tonight. Game one for the Cubbies.
I gave up on baseball, brother. I'm sorry. It's over for me.
We're not even going to get your unofficial picks for the World Series. Like, it's an annual tradition, John.
Dodgers.
I think last year you took Dodgers.
I'm going to take them every year.
Until they do it.
That's right. That's right.
Okay.
I mean, we got Shohei. We got Will Smith on a...
It's an unbelievable roster.
Right.
But apparently, their rotation is still shaky. How can that be? I just read it this morning.
They spent over $1 billion.
How do you spend that much money and there's anything that's shaky at all?
It's crazy what they have.
Speaking of shaky, old rotations are old, certainly applies to y'all.
Don't get me started. We bought a bunch of 35-year-old dimwits.
I read up on you, Cardinals.
We're old and young.
I read up on y'all.
We got no middle.
And you're starting with Sonny on the injured
list. The DL,
list.
Yes.
See, I'm watching.
As predicted on this show by me, by the way.
There's still a few of us around here watching baseball, especially this season. Yes. We missed the playoffs by one game last year. The Cubs blew it down the stretch. Do you remember that?
Yes, I do. I think the Cubbies are in pole position in the NL Central. Your team,
some
you're not overstating
that,
it.
Some believe that ESPN has us picked, but I read The Athletic this morning. They have you guys picked to win the division. So
I wouldn't do that.
Also, some have said Cincinnati.
Oh, so it's wide open.
There's your NL Central rating. We got Cardinals here that are happy today.
Look at the analysis. Yeah, people make this.
Who
are
y'all opening with?
The Dodgers. Yeah, we're in LA. Opening at 3 o'clock.
Isn't that exciting, John?
Yes, incredibly.
Baseball opening day. Cubbies are back. Just at least in terms of contending for a division. A
lot of hope.
I'll have a lot more fun this year. I think.
I think you will.
Japanese pitcher.
Yes.
We got a Bellinger.
Yes.
Back.
You have a new manager at
Swanson's
the helm
back,
who you paid a lot of money?
The great Craig Council.
What is this guy? Shota Imanaga?
Yeah, he goes
Imanaga?
By, I only call him Shota.
Shota.
It's like Shohei. He goes by one name.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to teach it to John all season long. Stud.
I mean, they're paying him, too. I mean, the Cubs have shelled out for this season, so they should do it.
Very exciting. We may go out and get a star at the deadline, I'm told. If we do that,
there you go.
It could put us over the hump. And that just means for division time, it's the Braves and Dodgers. John's right.
Yeah.
In terms of the teams that should win it.
Yes.
Right? No yeah. Texas Rangers or anything this year. Right?
Astros are in the mix on the
well,
other side.
They'll always make the AL. Mm-hmm. The ALCS. Yep. They'll always. What was it? It's eight straight?
Yeah.
Which is incredible.
They're very solid.
I mean, what a baseball breakdown.
What a day.
I'm proud of us.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
What a day. Well, you sounded about excited as the Lakers fans in attendance last night. Drew Hill covers the Grizzlies for the Daily Memphian. I saw him last week at FedEx Forum for the first and second round of the NCAA tournament. We got to hang out a little bit, and he joins us now. What's up, brother?
What's up, man? Still trying to kick this cold I got last weekend.
Yes.
Sound a little rough. That's what it is.
Weather keeps changing.
Yeah, it's crazy, man.
Yeah.
I got sick twice, in sixth season. I guess we're exiting that now. And I rarely get sick, but I've got sick twice. But I'm hoping that by getting this now, I'll be over this because I get married in 2 weeks now, less than 2 weeks. Right around 2 weeks. And so I'm hoping that means I will not be sick then, because that's a big fear. But yeah, it's been tough, brutal.
Big things popping.
Yeah, you brought out that COVID to the forum. There's no doubt about it.
Oh,
but I will say this for Drew: he was isolating. He was at the very end on Sunday. He was at the very end of the room.
Not COVID.
But you were not masked up. You're going to prison. You're going to prison. Anyway, all right. What is there to ask or say about the Grizzlies?
We must,
at this point,
we must
right?
know what he thinks about Brandon Clark.
We must know.
It's the obligatory
question told,
of the day.
I'm being told we must know what you think about Brandon Clark and his return.
I'm going to be honest. I think we're all at that stage, right? I mean, that's just part of where we are. It's part of what's going on this season with the Grizzlies. Part of the reason why we were pouring all that effort into the NCAA tournament, because that was fun. And I figured you guys were going to ask me about Alabama, North Carolina. I figure you might ask me about baseball, but I'm glad to be getting at least one Grizzlies question here. I do think that what was encouraging was that he looked like Brandon Clark, the style of game seemed the same. I'm kind of, it's funny, I asked Jaron, I said, does it look the same to you? Like, same spring, same leaping ability, same style? And I thought Jaron had a really good answer, because Jaron was like, you know, I'm going to need more than one game to assess this here. So,
yeah.
You know, I would agree with him. But he also said that he doesn't think Brandon Clark is trying to be the same Brandon Clark that he was before. Like, that Brandon Clark's game was always going to evolve, and yeah, he missed time on the court, but it gave him some more time to think about how he wants his game to be, you know, as it matures, sort of get better. And that I found interesting, because, you know, the Brandon Clark that we know is the one that's like explosive and leaping off the floor and finishing dunks in transition. Like, ideally you want all of that to still be the case, but you also want it to work as he becomes a little bit older, a late 20s player, you know, to have a game that develops in a way that is still helpful. And so I found all that to be very interesting. I thought it was a good first performance back. It also was just a good emotional boost for the team, because we spent so many, weeks now and months without any sort of emotional enjoyment from any of this. And to just have a player back on the floor that people really, really like, I think is definitely a big plus. And it is worth noting that, too. Brandon Clark, as Chris Harrington pointed out, he played 20 minutes last night, and that's more than he typically even plays in a Grizzlies game.
Yep.
But Brandon Clark is still one of the single most beloved players on this Grizzlies team, despite really not playing that many minutes on a per-game basis. And I it is interesting to me why that is. I think the fact that he helped them win a playoff series in Minnesota, very clearly he was like the most important player for the Grizzlies in that series. The fact that he helped them do that, the fact that his style does include the sort of the explosive dunks that you can kind of see the bromance between him and Jaren, I think all that kind of contributes to why people really love Brandon so much. So it was just nice to have him back out there. But it is interesting to me, like, of all of the players that are just singular role players, he's definitely the most beloved of them.
I could ask you about Desmond Bane, 16 assists, and it was fantastic. It's career high and everything else. Most, I think, against the Lakers, what was it, for a Grizzly? So that's a fantastic number. He's been fantastic all year. But Laravia, before we move on to things like Cubbies and Alabama basketball, how much has he helped himself, if at all, with this stretch last night? Just really good from the three-point line, sort of what you had envisioned when you drafted him. Has he helped himself? How much, if he has, has he done? In terms of being on the roster next year, we know he's at about $3 million, so it's cheap. What do you think of what you've seen? How much has he helped himself?
I think he has helped himself. I was one of the more skeptical as it related to Laravia. I think he's outperformed what my expectations were for him late in the season. So I think in that way, that's obviously a plus. And you like that he's doing other stuff than making shots, yep, because that's what you haven't really gotten from Zaire, besides a little bit of passing.
Right.
And so if he's able to do that other stuff, then I think it makes it pretty clear. I mean, it gives you a more clear path. Do I still think that Zaire has a brighter future overall as a player? I probably do. But I don't think that you have a clear path to him getting on the floor and like being productive now with this team. So I lean towards, yeah, I mean, I think Jake might, he may have done enough here to keep him, to buy him some more time in Memphis. We will see. I mean, it is hard to imagine that they would hang on to both of those guys beyond the season, although that is certainly a possibility. So I've been impressed by what he's done. Last night was particularly impressive. It was good to see him have like a great shooting night, because yeah, we've seen him have a lot of bad shooting nights.
Right.
But it's like, oh, but you justify it by saying, oh, yeah, well, he did some other stuff. But you do need, for every one of those bad shooting nights, you want him to have a great shooting night. And he finally got one last night. And he was a big part of the fact that Desmond Bane had 16 assists.
No doubt.
Make no mistake, a lot of those assists were just passing it to Jake on the perimeter and him hitting those threes.
We were talking about Laravia. I mean, he did have 25 last night. I mean, I don't know if you would say that's his best game as a pro, but, I mean, you'd probably say that.
By far.
Yeah, so
career high for him, obviously.
Yes, and I mean, some of those shots, in fairness, like, it wasn't all just garbage time. I mean, he was kind of instrumental in them clawing back and making it a 10-point game again. So is it one of those things where, you know, you don't want to get too carried away, or are you starting to maybe see some signs that there could be a player here?
I'm not willing to get too carried away. I think that what we've seen from Jake is definitely encouraging. Is he a longtime role player in the league? And I mean, man, it feels like I'm piling on, because when I was a little bit more skeptical than, like, let's say, like Chris, who just said, who he was kind of on the fence of, like, well, we haven't really seen him play that much. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I don't know. I feel like I have, and I just don't know if it's going to work out. And so, you know, for me to still say, I don't know, I think some people might perceive as like piling on, which is not what I'm trying to do. I just think that, you know, based on how the way that he fits within this Grizzlies roster, this Grizzlies core, like what he could bring to the table that is valuable for the Grizzlies is that ability to stretch the floor and shoot it. Is he ever going to be big enough, long and athletic enough to really be a true presence defensively? Maybe. I mean, you would have had more hope for a guy like Santi in that position, right, than a guy like Jake. And Santi's supposed to do the same thing, like stretch the floor offensively, work within the flow of the offense, and then give us some size and some presence on the defensive end. Well, that hasn't really worked out. So if Santi was a player I had utmost confidence in. I was really confident going into last season and really confident going into this season that he was going to be much better than what he's been so far. And so I say all that to say you can be wrong, but I still need to see more. We are in a stage in the season late where these guys are getting crazy opportunity. I mean, think about what Gigi is getting just on his own, like shooting up 13, 14 shots a game. Will this work for Jake when the opportunities are severely limited from what it is now? Because that's when your efficiency really, really matters. And he hasn't done it quite consistently enough to make me believe that that's... I mean, we're breaking down the person who may be like literally 14 or whoever.
Yeah, maybe, yeah. I'll be even lower. Yeah.
Okay, you know, okay, haters. This isn't make or break, but it is... this is the stage.
Like, you ain't been hater number one.
I'm just saying, y'all don't want to see a good Christian white man succeed.
One more thing about this man said Christian white man. One more thing about this game last night, Drew. I think the Grizzlies last I looked like the 11th in defense, even in a bad season, right? They've kind of maintained and been around top 10 defensively. But why can't we hold Rui Hachimura, bro? What is the issue there? Why have we not run him off the three-point line by now with what he's done? You know, last year, game one, game two, and then last night. For whatever reason, Rui comes in here and shines.
I think it was part of their game plan in the playoffs last year. Ugh. That they were going to live with those shots, and he made them pay.
He's burning them.
And I think mathematically they still feel the same way, and he's just still making them pay. And I was listening to y'all's show before you came on, like the comments afterwards, of course. Like,
he took
you know,
a shot.
That seems to happen all the time. I
you probably hear that from players on a regular basis and don't report it, right? When you're in the visitor's locker room, because that's the general sentiment, isn't it, around the league?
Yes. Yeah. I hear that from reporters all the time. But, you know, like, I also try to, like, it's true. Like, so there's several – this has happened twice this
year. Careful.
I will not say any names. But – twice, there's been an opposing reporter that got a hotel room downtown, and they go to leave the Grizzlies game to walk back to their hotel, and they ask me, should I walk back to my hotel? Is it safe for me to walk back to my hotel? Well, what would you answer? What would you tell in that scenario? What would you say if they said they're staying at Central Station, right, and they're at FedEx Forum? So they're in South Main, you're in FedEx Forum. They got a 10-15 minute walk. Would you tell them it's fine?
Yeah. I mean, I would.
Yeah. I offer them a ride. I'm like, but if you want me to drive you, I'll just drive you over to the hotel. You know?
Yeah, you are nice.
But like, it is. But you get it from everywhere. You get it from all angles. Like, yes, it's not just reporters. It's like, you know, like, I'm hosting a wedding. There's a lot of people coming in from out of town. No one has any idea what to expect in Memphis. Everybody's asking me, well, where can I stay that's safe? Where can I stay that's safe? And it's just like, you know, it's just unfortunate that this is what the public perception is now. But, like, it's also kind of sad that Rui can say something like that to me. And, it doesn't even register. Like, it's fine.
Doesn't bother me. It's coming from Rui. You know, who cares? So we get that. All right, Alabama, North Carolina, how you feeling?
Responsibly as you can, I would absolutely love to take North Carolina tonight in this situation. It makes no sense that Alabama's even here, by the way, because they're one of the worst defensive teams in the country, and teams that have this profile do not get past the Sweet 16. They were really lucky to get through that Grand Canyon game. That was one of the most hideous games of basketball I've ever seen. Of course, my coworker Parth grew up in North Carolina, I believe, as a Tar Heels fan. DeMichael is a Tar Heels fan as well. So I'm already getting it nonstop from those two guys, which is unfortunate because I really feel like Alabama – could be in a spot to get blown out. I mean, if they go make 15 threes, then they'll have a chance in the game. But, like, you shouldn't really bet on a team to go make 15 threes. I think North Carolina wins in a rout tonight, unfortunately. I would love to come on here and admit that I was wrong. That would be the best. But
right.
I just don't feel good about it.
Yeah, I mean, that definitely – I agree. It's out to five at some spots. I just don't really see the path. Like you said, unless – they go nuclear. But I just feel like North Carolina is just as capable of doing that. Like, North Carolina is Alabama, but better. So, and Grant Nelson's going to foul out in 3 minutes.
Yeah, no, they don't have a single big. I mean, they when Betty Ocko left,
it's over.
They were in big time trouble. That's been the way all season long. Like, North Carolina is going to score as many points as they want to score in this game.
Now, I will say this. I will say this. Like, man, that roster getting to a Sweet 16, and I know obviously you benefited from some upsets, but still, that's amazing. Like,
oh yeah,
that roster had no business being one of the 16 left, in my opinion.
No, I would 100% agree. That's Nate Oates being a good basketball coach. And this is what, like, for Nate Oates to be in the Sweet 16 three out of 4 years at a place like Alabama is impressive enough. For Nate Oates to be an SEC regular season champion and tournament champion two out of the last 4 years with a chance to win a third this year without a big man on the roster, it's pretty dang impressive. I'm pretty happy that this team has made it this far. The only way they win tonight is they go absolutely, like you said, nuclear from the three-point line. They make 15 threes, and they trade twos for threes with Carolina, and they find a way to win. I just don't think they're going to have anyone to stop any sort of interior scoring for Carolina at all, so I'm expecting what will probably be a blowout. Who knows? Maybe if Alabama makes 12 threes, makes 10 threes, something like that, it might be a competitive game in the second half.
In terms of the other games tonight, zone of Clemson, what do we think there?
Clemson's tough. I do think Arizona's the better team. It doesn't feel like Clemson necessarily has been pushed yet. That Baylor game was just kind of strange from the beginning. I mean, it was Clemson was making all those shots from the perimeter, and you were kind of like, ah, well, they won't keep this up. And they did the entire game. And it wasn't until that late Baylor comeback attempt that you felt like it was even in question or in doubt at all. So Clemson's probably due for a little bit of regression to come back down to life, or down to earth, I should say, a little bit. So I would probably lean towards Arizona. I don't know what the point spread is in that, but
It's seven. Yeah.
That's a lot, but I think Arizona wins the game for sure.
Drew, I'm not sure if you're aware, but Lewis Riddick has now joined Dan Orlovsky as saying that Jaden Daniels should be the first pick of the draft. What say you?
I don't think it's going to happen. I don't know if you saw, but Ryan Poles was on McAfee the other day, and I watched the interview, and I don't think I have ever seen a GM kind of just be that obvious with who he's going to select at the top of the draft.
He seems smitten.
Yeah, it seems like this is obvious that he knows exactly who he's going to pick. And I've always been shaky on Caleb Williams. I don't know how to feel about it. I've admitted that for months now to you guys. Yep. But I will say, like, I just saw a video, like, last night of him at the combine, and they're, like, asking him, like, who do you think is the best quarterback of all time or something? And he says, like, Aaron Rodgers. And then he's like, gets asked who he models his game after. And he's like, Aaron Rodgers. And of course, I hate Aaron Rodgers so much because of what he did to my Bears.
We hate
so
the greatness.
Long.
Yes.
And so I just hate that. I even hate that Caleb Williams likes Aaron Rodgers. And so for me, I am so skeptical. I'm like, I dislike the idea of them drafting this guy so much that it's actually giving me hope that he's going to be good, because I'm just certain that the Bears are going to screw it up. It is the most reverse psychology thing of all time, but I promise you it's the truth. It's genuinely how I feel. The fact that I don't like the pick makes me feel better about the pick.
I can kind of subscribe to that. John was pointing out to me the other day, and we saw the photos out there. They went viral. That Caleb had the pink phone and the pink nails.
And I think maybe some pink lip gloss.
And we should be concerned. Does that concern you? I said he could be out there with edible draws on as long as he's hitting Keenan Allen.
I believe the word you used was panties.
DJ Moore. Panties,
you
draws.
You did say the word panties.
A thong. If he's got a thong, I don't care, so long as he's hitting, he's accurate, and he's hitting it on time. Do the pink nails bother you, Drew?
No, they don't bother me. Whatever.
Good.
If the dude can throw for three touchdowns a game if he throws for 350 yards and he can hit these receivers because he's got weapons now, I don't care what he does.
Thank you.
Okay. I genuinely don't care. It does not
y'all
matter.
Y'all would be making fun of me if it was the Raiders at number one. Y'all be going in on me. Like, look who y'all about to draft. That's the hypocrisy.
I wouldn't go in on you until he sucked as a quarterback, and then I might go.
That's the hypocrisy at work here. But look, I mean, his situation, I mean, it's not as good as Brock Purdy's, but it sort of, you can start to see the resemblance. It's, you know, Keenan Allen, DJ Moore, Cole Kmet, all those running backs. You know, the defense is good.
Oh, yeah.
Played a lot better after they acquired Sweat. They're bringing back Brisker, right? Brisker back. Is Johnson back?
Yes, Jalen signed.
I mean, yeah. I mean, you guys are really set up. I mean, and it's going to be a war in that division now because the Green Bay Packers have arrived. Here's
what I would ask both of you. Are we for two straight years going to see where the second guy's better? Right? How many times does that? I mean, it's possible, right? And I'm not saying Bryce Young is done. He could still have a great year in Carolina, but C.J. Stroud clearly should have gone number one. Is it really going to be a deal again where Caleb Williams is not the guy, right? So many have said that this guy for 2 years now is the one. Is it really going to be a deal where for two straight years, number two, whether it's Jaden or Drake May, is the better one? Or, like, is that really going to happen 2 years in a row?
Well, that doesn't scare me, mainly because Mitch was the second one, and he was viewed as the second one the whole time, and he obviously didn't work out. So, like, you can't be really, like, afraid of that, I feel like.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, the Bears were in that spot. You know, they missed on – everybody saw Baker, right? Baker. He was the number one quarterback. That's who everybody wanted the Browns to take.
Yeah.
So, the Bears have been in that spot, so it doesn't scare me, like – you know, I don't. No. It doesn't keep me up at night wondering about Jaden Daniels. You know,
no. In the end, it's probably, as we all put a boat, it's probably more about how you develop him, what you've got there in place, and we know John just laid it out. You got a great situation for him in terms of receivers. It's probably more about that, right, than it is. You know, it's at least half of it is about the organization itself, and at least that part of it. At least, you know, from what we can tell, I don't know much about Shane Waldron, the former, you know, Seattle guy we got bringing over to OC, but. We'll see. I feel good about it. I'm with you. At this point, I know they're taking Caleb. We'll just got to see what happens, baby.
Yeah. I think he's a West Coast guy. Caleb's a West Coast guy, offense-wise, I mean.
Yep.
So
yep.
I think this is – they've already told you who they're going to take. And I think 99% of the teams would do it. So if it doesn't work out for the Bears, everybody's going to cloud on the Bears for messing it up again, which is fine. But just remember, 99% of these teams would also take Caleb Williams.
No doubt. Hey, Drew, appreciate the time as always, man. Thanks.
Yeah. See you guys.
So the other night, I was just, because I'm thinking about the NFL, I texted my dad. And I was like, who's your favorite Raider? I just wanted to know what he had to say.
Yeah.
And he said Fred Biletnikoff would be my all-time favorite. But since we haven't had a winning season in a long, long time, I honestly do not know who plays for the Raiders except Carr. And I had to inform him, Dad, he doesn't play for the Raiders anymore, and he hasn't in years.
There's been nothing, except for you being there.
He said,
to really be tuned into.
He said, is he sidelined? I said, no, dog, he plays for the Saints. Like, my dad is, like, completely locked in right now on the Raiders. And, look, in fairness, he said, well, if they get back to winning again, I will regain an interest in them. Hard to believe they've been down for so long. Don't they realize I'm running out of time? I said, ain't we all, brother?
Dude, my dad and I have the same conversation about, dude, we got to get contending again before you check out of here.
No doubt. I don't think it's going to happen for me.
He turns 74 next month.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What year was your dad born?
Well, no, excuse me, May, so 2 months from now.
What year was your dad born?
50.
Okay, so your dad's a little older than mine.
Yeah, 50.
My dad was born
in 57. Was 49. But, yeah, that's what, you know, mom just passed at 74.
Yeah.
My dad's in relatively good health and everything else. But we talk about it, it's like, man, are we ever going to see a day where we're running the Packers or where we're back to contending again? Now, we had, you know, Hester. We had a Super Bowl there. What was it, 07, 08, whatever it was.
Right.
But, yeah, we talk about that exact same thing. Are we going to see it together?
Right.
Because, I mean, that's where sports can be great, right?
No question.
You know, looking forward to that and wanting to do it with family and everything else. That's where the feel good comes in.
Except,
most of the time it ends up in disappointment.
No doubt.
There's feel good and hope, just like Cubs and opening day of baseball today, and Caleb Williams and what could be for the Bears. And then there's usually Green Bay killing you.
Exactly.
And disappointment.
My dad just walking around thinking that Derek Carr, still the Raiders quarterback, is just kind of a
funny
visual.
Well, we got to catch him up. You need to tell him about Max Crosby. Because that's a good one for him. He would jump right on. He would love Max.
Max the Raider. Max is like an old-time Raider.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Like, we don't have a lot of those.
He's a throwback.
You know who else I like is the Jack Jones dude. He's a dog, man. The DB who picked off, who had the pick six.
Oh, he's going to have to do some more.
Against Mahomes.
He's going to have to do some more.
I know, but he's a...
I'm putting him on my radar. You're trying to tell me about Jack Jones?
Okay. All right. I
know about the Jack Jones Classic here in Memphis.
Okay.
You got a DB named Jack Jones?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mahomes
pick six is good. I mean, that's one.
On Christmas, no less.
I told you,
our Super Bowl.
The Mahomes rules, they coming. Y'all going to hurt that man next year.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what.
NWA style.
That's the closest I think I'm going to ever get to beating a good team in a meaningful moment. That Christmas Day win over the Chiefs.
You know, Christian Wilkins could catch him and fall on him.
Dude, I mean.
That's how it could happen.
You're
running away from Crosby, running to the clutches of Christian Wilkins.
I'll be honest. If we had a QB, I would be excited.
Y'all got a defensive line.
If we had a QB, I'd be excited. But we don't.
You got to rough him up.
That's why I'm a Bears fan. Oh, my God, bro. You wouldn't be able to talk to me.
Well, that's how I look at you.
Yeah, like
when you want to talk NFL, just defer.
That's right. that's how Jason is. Jason is, if your team sucks, you're not permitted to have an opinion on the NFL.
You shouldn't be in the conversation.
My team doesn't suck that
now,
bad, though.
Brad changes teams all the time, so we never know. Exactly. You, though?
I'm consistent. But my team's not at the bottom of the league, though. They're just mid.
That's the worst place.
You'd
have a high draft pick like the Commanders or the Patriots.
The Giants is the team that you can't talk. You don't need to bring anything to the conversation, right? The Commanders. Basically, Giannotto and Jeffrey need to just avoid NFL talk, right? Because their
especially
team,
the Commanders. At least the Giants got, you know.
But again, they're going to get
a couple with Eli.
They're going to get Drake May or Jaden Daniels, you know? So they could be back.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.